fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get three-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Comedy Album Book Club. Yes, this week I have the distinct pleasure and immense fun of chatting with Mike Carrozza. We discuss Cal Kinane's Whiskey Icarus. Stay tuned and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. I have the absolute pleasure of chatting with Mike Carrozza this week, Montreal-based comedian, formerly living in Toronto. That's where I met him. He recorded an episode of Tracy Hamilton's Love is Everywhere. Still up. Check it out. Great podcast. He and I chatted about Kyle Kinane's Whiskey Icarus. Terrific conversation. We got pretty into the weeds about the process of comedy, its nature as art, and how hecklers suck. They suck hard and they suck large, and people enabling hecklers suck just as bad. Great conversation. But most of all, we talk about the incredible work that Kyle Kinane does, how deep and introspective it can be while really still being really accessible and fun. We talked about Whiskey Icarus, which was recorded in 2012 in San Francisco, and had some really interesting characters in the audience. But I mean, it was San Francisco, so what do you expect? Anyways, check it out. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the show.
This to be an art form. I want comedy to be taken as an art form. I feel I put just as much heart and blood, sweat, and tears into this as any musician or any sculptor. And I want it to be appreciated as such. But then I was in a van with my friends not too long ago, and I unsolicitedly just announced, I said, hey guys, these farts are like contractions for the turd baby I'm gonna have later. And that's why I'm not an artist. That's why this is not getting federal funding. There's not gonna be a grant to perform this in the city center for the citizens.
Welcome to Comedy Album Book Club. I am joined by Mike Carrozza. Thanks for being on the show.
Happy to be here, man. Thanks for having me, man.
So you chose Kyle Kinane's Whiskey Icarus from 2012. What inspired you to choose that album?
Kyle has been a longtime favorite of mine. I love basically everything he does. He's very he's very funny, obviously, you know. That's like a one for comedy albums and comedians. But he's also extremely poetic, and I like Whiskey Icarus is the standout because I guess it was like in the formative time of when I was starting to take comedy seriously for myself. It is a very seminal and influential album for me in the way that like so many things are quotable and the little details stand out while not, you know, undercutting the big moments. Like it, and you kind of see like the building blocks of what he ends up using more in his later specials. And I just think that like he's so good. He's just so good. And this is 13 years ago, around literally.
Yeah. Yeah. 2012. Like, so 12 years ago.
I started in 2010, 2011. And so Death of a Party was already on my radar as an album that I could not stop listening to. And then this came out and I was like, oh, that guy like just put out another special. That's so sick, you know?
Yeah.
And then you get into this and there's so many gems across the board. It's amazing.
Yeah. Like you said, it's the details. It's like, we're going on an adventure. And it's like $80 on the on
take
a meter.
Me to Neverland. Yeah.
Now, one of the things I really liked about this too is it's timeless. Like, there's nothing on here that, and if I find that with many specials and many albums, it's like, oh, it's of a moment, which is nice, and that gives you a slice of life from that time. But this applies as much today as it did 12 years ago. And I think in 12 years, it will still land just as well.
I mean, the died in my arms tonight joke might be a bit of a stretch next years from now, but yeah, I mean, it is, he's very good at that. The stories are very personal. And then they're also like, I mean, there is like some of the dated stuff that I could think of is like he's talking about hipsters, you know. Now those guys are just assholes. So it's just like you got the hipsters and fixed gear bicycle. You know, the those were like a big deal back in 2012. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And to be doing that joke in San Francisco, which is like one of the cultural cornerstones for hipster culture
especially at the time people weren't being completely priced out of living in San Francisco if they weren't tech billionaires, you know.
And I am totally going to I am not a joke thief, I will credit it, but when I die I am totally using that Cutting Crew joke on my tombstone. But I was like, Kyle Kinane in like footnoting.
This is the Whiskey Icarus. He's 2012.
Have you ever thought about what you'd want to do when you go
tombstone?
With your tombstone or funeral? Like, I want to have a big ska party. That's what I want. Funeral, everybody's like listening to like One Step Beyond by Madness, like just totally over the top, ridiculous.
I think I've given it some thought, but not like, you know, seriously, because it's not my problem. Somebody else take care of it. You know what I mean? I don't think of like, I don't think I want a tombstone. I don't want to be somewhere in particular. I definitely like, you know, against the Catholic upbringing, I'd rather be fucking cremated and just like, you know, whoever's I'm important to, you get a little bit of me if you want it. Otherwise, you know, put me somewhere I've always wanted to go. That is like not okay for humans to be like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, first thought I thought of was like a garbage disposal. Like, you put your hand in there, it's messed up. But now guess what? I'm safe and you might have to. Well, I might clog up your garbage disposal and you might have to get it fixed. But hey, you know what I mean? Like something stupid like that. It's just I haven't given it enough thought to be like, I know what I want on my tombstone, because I just think like I probably would be like, if there is a tombstone, be like, I don't know. Check out his comedy, I guess.
QR code to your album.
Yeah. Yeah, just kind of like, hey, look, if you don't suck, I want you to laugh. I want you to feel some sort of joy. Yeah. But also, like, I don't know, put me in one of those, like, confetti cannon things that people pop at New Year's Eve. You know, yeah. I don't care. I don't care about that.
Now back to Kyle's special. One of the things I really liked is how self-deprecatory he was without being, never got into that sort of like depression, I feel sorry for him kind of thing, where it's like, it still felt positive.
Right. I mean, he does have a bit of, there's one bit that's a bit of a pity thing, which is like, you ever sleep with an old girlfriend, like a girlfriend's old shirt or something?
Yeah.
Not for humping, just so it feels like you're sleeping next to somebody, that thing, you know. I think what he says, it's so good, is without this, my life would just be a series of undocumented low points.
Yes.
And that's just such a succinct way of being like, yeah, this era of my comedy is very much like, I do a lot of fucked up shit and I'm going to tell you about it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in later years, he's just like, he still carries that, his insightful, like, poetic view on what's going on around him. And he's not the butt of the joke in that way anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like, he talks about DUIs on this album and getting DUIs. And he's like, I fucked up, but here's how here's a little bit of insight for that. Or, you know, I think what he's really good at is, even in the moments where you're like, man, that anybody telling me this, I'd be concerned. He's like, look, I know, but now listen. You know?
Yeah.
Like, there's a bit on his later special, I like this old stuff better, where he's like, I threw away change. Like, he had a receipt in one hand and then change in the other, from coming out the gas station convenience store. And he meant to throw out the receipt, but instead he threw out, like, the change in his hand. And that is such a moment of, like, a lot of people would, like, maybe feel bad about it and be like, whoops, and move on. But he's like,
yeah,
what's the funny, how do I describe this? Like, he's like, I look, so some what was it, something like a debutante, I don't know, like, oh, this doesn't matter to me anyway. He'll take a moment from his life and be like, let me find it a way to really get creative with my descriptions here, because he's so good at that.
Oh yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, like that moment where he's talking about the guy eating the pancakes.
Sure, yeah.
He just, like, on the airplane, like, the entire, he has some nice character work. He just carries on with, like, and if you want to do this, this is how you do it politely. Uh-huh. And it's just like carries that. There's so much
from around. You don't have to go back and front. You can just go side to side. Don't worry, no one's taking any.
Yeah. And then how he goes on about dry pancakes. It's like, oh, yeah, that would be.
Well, at least he's not going to eat them dry like a psychopath. it's so funny to me the way he goes, like, for the pancakes thing, he's like, you'd expect somebody who does this kind of thing to have some sort of deference or whatever and be like, yeah, I'm sorry, this was like a last minute thing. He ripped the bag open with a confidence like, yeah, I'm eating all these bitches. And he was doing this cotton candy swirl. And then, like, with a 1,000-yard stare, like, he's in the swamp water. He's neck deep in swamp water. He's going to catch a catfish with his bare hands. You're like, that's so funny. It's so funny. A lot of quotables on this album.
Yeah, yeah. I really enjoy, I've been unfortunately having to travel for work a lot lately, so the travel jokes really landed, like the one with the Orbitz joke.
Yeah.
The couple next, and it's like, and again, it's like, this is like, he's making some bad decisions, but he knows he's making bad decisions
here. He's being fun. I think.
Yeah.
I think what's also fun about that bit in particular is that he succinctly puts forward like a life philosophy that's very easy to adapt. And, you know, so it's like he goes, I'm not put on this earth to be a goalie. I'm paraphrasing. As long as you're not hurting anyone, I'm here to either help or get out of the way. And I think that's just good because, like, you know, the implication of that is like, hey, I'm not gonna get in the way of somebody's happiness as long as they're not hurting anybody. But the implication is like, hey, if you are hurting somebody, I'm gonna get in the way. You know what I mean? So I do think that's a, you know, be mindful of that. I like that saying a lot. I've said that over the years.
Yeah, and it's sort of like the core of the philosophy of this album too, like you point out. And it's just a good way to live, you know, like you know, there's so many comedians where it's like, yeah, they can get kind of mean or get kind of down and they don't really offer any path forward, whereas this special, it feels like this is his path out of here. It's like, you know, as dark as it might get, my goal is to make people laugh and to be funny and to be kind and to not hurt people, kind of, which is nice.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, we talked about at one point comedy being an art form, and then his description of taking a very big dump, kind of thing. And that's why we can't be an art form, but.
Hey guys, these farts are like the contractions for the turd baby I'm going to be having later. You're like, oh my God.
But I mean, I kind of feel like this special really does show how it can be an art, because like you said, he's so beautiful with his words and how he uses them in his descriptions of things here.
Is there any bit more evocative than when he is, like he said, without you, that my life would be a series of undocumented low points, and he talks about having to go to the 7-Eleven for dinner.
Yes. Yeah.
And getting like a cheeseburger bite thing, which is cheeseburger shaped like a hot dog. And he is like, what is that? Did mad scientists run mad, or did a cheeseburger fall in that perpetual motion machine and it got smoothed out the way that glass gets smoothed out into sand on the beach? And he's like, you can almost hear the hot dogs in there because they're moving forward, but they're never gaining any ground. You're like, that is it. There's just like he's made you empathetic to hot dogs. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's given them like it's sad. I think about those hot dogs and it paints it. So they're like, he's like, it's so sad. And he's like, and that's what I'm looking at, like dinner. And he talks about, you know, the Subway guy being like, hey man, what are you doing? He's not supposed to have hope anymore. This guy's like, hey, look, I does nobody care about you? You shouldn't be doing this. And he goes, I'm a gambler, pays for it. And then he says one of my favorite lines on the albums. He goes, crumbs, magic hands, because he eats it in one bite. And like that moment is so funny. And then it's followed up immediately with, I ate a homeless man's dinner and I didn't even savor it. And then I got a DUI. And
yeah.
Whiskey Icarus flew a little too close to the sun. It's so good. He's really good at that. You know, he packs a lot of imagery into, like, some of his sentences are just so perfectly crafted. You're like, fuck, how does anybody do it like that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he knows, one of the things I love too is he knows when to deploy and act out so perfectly. And I mean, you're good at that too. Like, I was listening to your album recently, Cherubic. Okay, and yeah. I mean, you've got these great moments where you know just when to punch it up with, like in this, he's like, God damn it, Griegel, you focus on the anarchy at hand. So yeah, you have moments like that too.
Anarchy closes at 11.
Anarchy closes at 11. But yeah, you have those same kind of moments on your album, which I highly recommend everybody listen to, you know, like the chef kiss act outs and stuff like that. And you know, when you're like putting on the microphone on your head and talking about, you know, you could just be in here.
Kind yeah, of. Yeah. Well, this is where the jokes come from. Yeah.
That's, yeah.
I do. So it is interesting to see, because it's very clear that Kyle's influence is on my work. There's no doubt about it. We're very different delivery styles. We're very different in the packaging and all that. But there's, you know, and I've even told him about, like, I tell him every time I work with him, I'm like, I gotta be careful when I work with you, because you're so easy to, like, you're one of my comics that I grew up trying to be when I started out. And so you fall back into, like, some of the habits that you have when you're getting started out, and you're like mimicking your favorites and stuff. And I'm like, you know, he's my favorite. There's just no doubt about it. And yeah, I'm like, yeah, I gotta be careful sometimes, because I fall right back into, you know, doing a little bit of Canaan. But it is clear that there are some tools I picked up from him, you know, like the hose trick, like, you know what I mean? Like when you bend a hose,
and
the water blocks up and then you let it go. That's what the chef's kiss bit is. That's, you know what I mean? Like the chef's kiss bit is me doing a really long moment where I'm, you know, it's between two chefs, you know, talking about a rough day at work and, you know, expressing a real love. And and then at the end, I do like the punchline that everybody knows is coming, right? And then Canaan does something similar with, like, you know, the creeping oppression of the suburbs. You know, well, we can go to this parking lot and smoke a little weed. You know, they can't kick you out of it. Oh my God, I'm 35. Or he does the same thing with, it's the same trick in the pancakes bit. Or he's like, if you're going to the airport, that's one of your number one priorities. Not this guy. He woke up. He was like, well, I know it's Tuesday, but you know what Tuesday means? Silver dollar flappies. I'm gonna bring out the batter. I'm not going to make all of them. I'm going to freeze all of them, but I'm not going to make all of them. But then I'm going to have some. I'm going to go, oh, my God. Oh, shit. I got to go. You know, it's like, so,
it's the
similar trick in that way. And it's, you know, as comics, you're like looking at this stuff and you're like, oh, we see what that trick is. And maybe I'm demystifying a little bit to the audience in that way. But it's the same thing as, like, if you listen to like some, like, whatever kind of music you like listening to. I listen to, like, a lot of music with, like, screams. It's like heavy music. I'll dip my toes back into, like, djent and metalcore from time to time when I'm not listening to, like, Sasscore or Scrams or whatever. But my favorite thing about, like, a certain era of metalcore and post-hardcore stuff is the expectation of a breakdown coming, where it's just like open chords rhythmically played and, like, variants on the drum kit and stuff, and, like, a standout scream that they're like, that people need to remember this. This is going to be the moment that looks great at the show, and people are like the anticipation of it. And so over time, a lot of bands started building up towards the breakdown in a way that was, like, longer and longer, or, like, subverting that expectation. And so when there's that release, it just feels heightened. And it's exactly the same as, like, the hose trick with, you know, those two bits I mentioned on Canaan's album. And then, like, my Chef's Kiss album, there's, you know, in the jokes, you got to be careful of, like, you can pepper in some little lines that'll get the laughs, but they're not going to be, like, big pops until the last one. You have to be careful not to have a big enough pop in that part before you finally release the hose, right? So it was one of those things where in my early days I've been into stand-up for a long time, so I've been listening to stand-up and kind of, like, listening to albums, taking notes at what I notice, and, you know, being like, one day I'll try it. And then when you start doing stand-up, you pick up on stuff a little bit more subconsciously, and then, you know, but I always wanted to be more intentional with my, you know, like, okay, this feels like a technique, you know, how do I refer to this in my head? And then you kind of spot that in your work and you're like, I don't want to do it too much, right? Because then you're a trick guy. And, you know, it's the same as somebody being like, I'm going to do this impression. And then you do an impression and, you know, it's like, what if this impression is in this accent? And you find out that that's like three of the bits. You know, so, like, again, on my album, I have a similar, like, the bear joke and the chef's kiss joke are, like, essentially the same.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get three-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Name, and I call it out because it is the hose trick. I call it out on the album being like, hey, it's real similar to that other joke, you know. Yeah, and the answer is like, yeah, and this one, and that one I was crying, and this one I was mad, and I can act. Isn't that fun, agents? But the idea is the same. Is like, this was an important album to me because I noticed some tricks, and also it's just inspiring to see what people can do with the same words you have, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's one of the things just in comedy in general, mm-hmm. we all have the tool set, like, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, music, you know, that requires certain education or skill sets that take a lot of training. And I'm not, and comedy takes a lot of training and practice, but we all come from the same capability. We all have the ability to use language and to observe the world around us, and it's just we kind of start from a similar place, and it's what we do with that, and that makes it our own kind of thing. And I mean, he kind of talks about it. It's like you know the suburbs, is, you know, and it is a soul breaking sort of oppression, but at the same time, it's like when you have two parents who love you and you grow up in a happy household, it's not what you expect from a comedian's background kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. He's got that subversiveness to him. Like, he is, especially at this time, he was like he was doing rock venues. He wasn't really doing clubs. And so you're looking at this guy like, this is the punk rock dude. This is the dude who's like, he's got all these stories about being a bit of a fuck up, and then also is the punk dude. And then you're like, yeah, well, you know what? Here's what's relatable. A lot of punks had to deal with family being supportive, and maybe that got in the way. Or, I'm this punk dude, but I still have shitty thoughts, and I'm trying to work through that. And find out like a way to be better. And then, you know, there's some sticky points here where you're like, oh, I know where he's going with this. He's adding a little bit more vulnerability and adding these like crazy thoughts out there. Plus to get to the point where he's like, Asians are bad drivers. No, Asians are great drivers. They don't like playing by the rules here. And he talks about, he's like, I watched this guy on a scooter with 17 chickens on the back cut off a bus and didn't even lose the ash off his cigarette. You're like, fuck, that's smooth. That is smooth. That is the most perfect. You can picture every moment of it. It's that is a sentence that gives you an entire world, you know?
Yeah. And the follow up to that being, the mind fuck of towards the racist guy by putting NASCAR stickers on the back of the car. Like, oh, wait a sec. Call Daryl.
Let's get Dale on the line. Yeah. This must be a new drafting technique. The Asians are in on the sport. No. This is a connoisseur, you know, like,
I have to say too, like, I've seen a lot of like loud audience members derail albums and specials, and he did a really good job of he incorporated it into the set without it becoming distracting or really, it doesn't feel like it took away.
I think that, like, you know, there's more of this than we get to see considering the cuts of specials and stuff. And like, you know, I've been to special recordings where, you know, they stop for a little bit and kick somebody out because they are disruptive. And, and it's like, this guy was, you know, said something, was like, basically, like, I didn't get the joke. Cause I was like, all right, you know, like, you shouldn't, you shut up, you know, obviously you suck. And then, you know, if it wasn't for, if it had escalated in any sense, I could have seen this being cut. You know, mm-hmm. you got the perfect comeback line and then letting it go, you know, would have been fine. But I think that, I think having that in there means that like you're getting a bit more of like a, well, this happens, you know, but yeah. that's the thing. He's in a theater and everything. I don't know. I just think that, you know, hecklers, man, fuck off.
Yeah.
I had a lady, I was hosting at the club in town here, the Comedy Nest, and on a Sunday special, like a holiday show, and it's a showcase mm-hmm. show. So I'm hosting like up and down the whole time. And within the first 20 seconds of the show, this woman heckled twice. Like, I did the whole like, hey, welcome to the show and all that stuff, make some noise, now I'm gonna do comedy for you. And I'm setting up a joke, and she go like, it's a, you know, I wear a cap on stage, and I don't like what my hair looks like, and I'm talking about, you know, how I got, you know, this is an intro to the bit, you know, it's a way in. Mm-hmm. And she's like, let's see the hair. And I'm like, no, let me do the talking, because I'm the one amplified and all that. And then I say, I don't like what my hair looks like right now. And she's like, well, it can't be that bad. And you're like, if you don't shut the fuck up. And so I literally had to be like, you know, I don't know if you understand the dynamic of this room, but like, this is a whole room of people that hates you right now. So like, if you don't recognize that, I think you should leave. Like, you gotta shut the fuck up, or thank you for being here. So like, you know, so like, that's it. Yeah. She didn't say anything for the rest of the show, but after the show, she walked by me and she went, "Go fuck yourself." And I was like, I'm not a retail employee who can't clap back. I'll tell you to go fuck yourself, and I hope you fall down an escalator. What do you want?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I kind of feel like the internet has, like, all of these people, like, doing these crowd work and heckler reactions on TikTok have kind of ruined it for a lot of people, because now there's the expectation mm-hmm. that's normal or that's okay, and it's not.
Yeah. Not a fan of that trend. I have to give it up to the OG Steve Hofstetter, putting plants mm-hmm. in the audience, being like the destroys heckler thing. Fuck you. Like, I don't fuck anybody who made hecklers okay. Like, people like made them think that they're helping the show. Literally, that's the thing they say. If you're dealing with a heckler and you talk to them after the show, it's like, it was funny, I helped with the show. And you're like, no, I recovered from your disruption. I am just skilled enough to handle the fact that you're a piece of shit. And I hope if anybody out there is listening and you're one of these people who is like, I think hecklers are pretty fun, hey, fuck off. Like, I don't, it's like, I don't know if you know this, but like, comedians, we're spending time working on ideas, finding the perfect way to say things. Because, like, listen, we're talking about Kinane's album. He came to these sentences. He came to these phrases. He came to these ways of, like, conveying ideas in a way that is, like, going to get a punchline here reliably, going to get a laugh here reliably. It's going to put this perfect image in your head, all this stuff. It takes time. Practice, it takes intentionality. And then what happens is you work on something and you want to present it, because that is your duty as an artist. You're supposed to work on a thing and you're putting it out. It's a duty to yourself, by the way. It's not like a social obligation. If you're an artist and you want to present it to yourself, like, enjoy your own work if you don't want to get out there. But my point is, like, you're somebody working on something, and unfortunately our line of work requires an audience. There's no way around it. Like, people have done specials where there's no audience. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work. Like, you need an audience there. You're our instrument. You know, musicians can spend time in a practice venue just playing their songs, and if they're satisfied with that, that's awesome. They can just record it, put it out, and they don't have to interact with the audience or what you think or anything like that. You just kind of have to, like, do your thing. My thing is being in the room and making you laugh. And I have worked hard on finding out what I want to say and how I'm going to get that laugh. And if you pipe up, you're ruining everything. It's the equivalent of, like, if I see a band and I go up on stage and, like, put my hands on a guitarist's, you know, neck while they're playing something, or I take away, like, two cymbals and start dancing with them on stage from a drummer. Like, I'm, you know, that it's literally the same thing.
Yeah.
It's so much more disruptive than you think. And that's because you're sitting down and you're talking. It's the guise of talking. Make no mistake, I don't give a fuck what you have to say unless it's great show after the show.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm up here talking because I want to perform. I'm up here making jokes because I think they're fun. And I want you to know I'm having a great time. I love what I'm doing. I think I'm very funny. That's the point. If I didn't think I was very funny, I wouldn't be here tonight. I wouldn't be up on stage for one. And also, I'm at a point where I'm playing shows where I'm like, yeah, I don't do garbage. You know what I mean? I'm at the show because I'm good. All right.
Yeah.
You have to trust that. And if you disrupt and you're like, what? I helped the show. I'm going to be like, no, you ruined the show. Because of you, people got a worse experience than they paid for. They were paying for people to come up here with prepared material, something with intention, something with, you know, work, you're paying for somebody to come on stage and give you what they've spent time on, give you who they are, give you, like, you know, even if they're working something out, like, they are coming in with the idea of, like, this is what I'm doing tonight. And you came up and you're the curveball. You're somebody like, I don't care about what your intention is here. I don't care about what you want. I want to react to being, you know, mayonnaise. You're like, what? All right. Hey, shut your mouth. You get, you know, it's one of those things that people forgot. Like, crowd work is fair. People love crowd work. It gives the illusion of spontaneity, because here's a fucking speaking of tricks from earlier.
Yeah.
If you notice, there are a bunch of comedians who are like crowd work comedians. They are setting up using these conversation tricks to lead you into these subjects, and they get you there.
Yeah.
And then they do a pre-written joke. You're not getting off the cuff all the time. Sure, there's a little bit of it to be like, see, we're here in the moment. And then they go into a bit like, well, this is the bit now.
Yeah.
And it feels like that's, you know, the magic of crowd work. Oh, he's just coming up with this stuff. No.
Yeah. No. It's like, I was at a Moesha Kasher show years ago. This is right after he got married. And we were right up front and close. And I had a shirt on that was kind of standout. It was a very silly t-shirt. And he called on me. And it's like, I'm the one married, one of the few married people in the audience. And and his entire set was about marriage. So he kept coming back to me and using me as like a jumping off point, interacting with me. But it's like, it's the exact same material I would later see in his special.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like, people are just don't.
The problem with comedy is that you don't have to be invested in comedy to attend comedy. Same as if you go to see a band live and you don't like the music, it doesn't matter if you turn to somebody and say, I don't like this. The band is louder than you. There's a whole bunch of people there going nuts for them or whatever. Or you just leave and like no one's going to call attention to it or whatever. But at a comedy show, people feel empowered to be like, yeah, this isn't, you know, talk about this instead. You're like, why?
Yeah.
You know, and because people aren't always necessarily in the know when it comes to like comedy and you know, how it works or anything. That's how you get these people that like come in and think they learn, they do it once, they think, oh, this is comedy, I'm exposed to it for the first time and this is how it goes, and you're like, that's it, and you're like, no, it's not, it really isn't. And so you see the same jokes on the special and you're like, I bet there are some nights where that got derailed significantly. You know what I mean? And there are people that are fans of comedy, that listen to comedy, that watch comedy, go often, and they know. Now they know because they've seen comics they like do the same joke over and over again.
Yeah.
Like playing a song, you know, over and over again. We're just like, you can't play comedy without your instrument, which is the audience. You can't do that.
Yeah. Now, do you have a favorite bit from the special?
That's a good question, man. That's a good question. I think, let's see. Let me go through them. Let me go through as they come to me. I think as important and as like impactful as the pancakes bit has been, like in terms of people know Kinane, they're like, you know, if they think about the special, they're often like, that's the set piece for the special. They're like, oh, Whiskey Icarus, that the one with the pancake guy? You're like, yeah. Even to this day, you have people online claiming to be the pancake guy. You know, so like it is like, this is as important as that bit is to the special. It is not like the one that I like to, like, I think of often. It's the one that I think is like really funny, but you know, there's so many gems and that underrated gems on this album that I think of every time. And I think, I get choked up a little bit at the last one. I think that the one where, he's like, when, you know, cremate me and sprinkle me all over my mom's carpet, and put a plaque that says, look who's not vacuuming now.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's a funny but also sweet thing. Because in the end, it's like, you know, if I die before my parents go, you know, I'm going to, you know, they'll want me close and stuff. You know, it's very sweet.
Yeah.
But it's also funny. It's real, like, fucked up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning of the album, he goes, comedy is about shared experiences. Bearing that in mind, did anybody else get so drunk last week they had to call a cab to take you to Wendy's? And then, you know, that whole story goes off, and he's got so many moments in that story that I remember forever, you know, and I'll think of. I think what it comes down to is I love the stuff about like the, it's not a blueprint for survival. Like I'm not, I shouldn't even be alive. He says, like maybe three times a week, I'll microwave something, pull it out. If it's like, oh, this is burning my flesh. And then he's like, quick, put it in your mouth. And then he's got these moments of, I learned that optimism and stupidity are two sides of the same coin. And then you're like, okay, what kind of fucking story's about to come here? And he's like, learn that by trying to put on my pants without taking my shoes off first. You're like, fuck, that's funny. That is
ballerina
insane.
Ballerina toe.
Just make the ballerina toes, Kyle. Make the ballerina toes. That's my go-to quote for when I'm doing a Canadian impression, is that part right there. You know, the intro bit, the part where it's like, I'm doing the right thing. How come it still feels sad? That I think about all the time. The bit with the couple fucking on the plane, where that philosophy of, you know, if someone's not hurting anyone, you know, either help or get out of the way. That one's important to me. But I do think that my favorite bit is the poetry of the 7-Eleven, like, hamburger bite hot dog thing. Because there's a lot of fun stuff on this album. There's a lot of really, like, you know, driving by the park being like, that's where I'll bury the dead body, you know. Yeah. Well, why? I don't even murder. Now you're making a list of justifiable murders. You're like, there's a lot of stuff on this album that'll stick with you. And I do think that when people think of this album, they're like, oh yeah, that pancake bit is really good. I'm like, you like that pancake bit, but buddy, let me tell you something. Get deep in this like more introspective vibe right here. You know,
yeah.
He's got, you know, he's got that the bit about the hot dog thing. It's just so it is bleak and sad, but the way he's describing it is like, I don't know, man. Am I reading a book? You know, it's just it feels like everything is perfectly in place mm-hmm. for that bit. And yeah, man, I really love that bit. I think it's one that's underappreciated.
Yeah. And for me, it's the when he starts talking about like if he was like the bridge movie. Mm-hmm. It's another one where it's like, you know, it's dark, mm-hmm. especially given he's in the town where that's taking place. But then he goes into this place where it's like kind of funny and beautiful in a way. Like, you know, I wear a cape. Oh, like, you know, if I'm going to go, I'm going to like put on a snorkel and some flippers and like a little glass.
A glass right where I'm going to fall, leave a post-it note that says, I think I can make it. Go out with a question mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a good one.
It's that being said, the entire special, like you said, front to back, top to bottom.
Yeah, very good. Very good stuff. And the thing is, he doesn't have any misses as far as I'm concerned. You know,
no.
I think even down to the fact that every album, I mean, up to a point was, you know, track lists from bands. Like this one is Detroit Rock City by Kiss is the track list. I think a Cheap Trick album for like Death of the Party. And then I think it was Fuck the Police for I liked his old stuff better, but like he had to do it in a way that he couldn't get sued because it's like this track is not called Fuck the Police or something. Anyway, I think there must have been like a Close Encounter or something because the other ones like Lucid Chicago is like ingredients of like a beef sandwich or something probably.
If people wanted to catch a show or find you on social media, where can they look?
I'm on the social platforms, you know, Instagram, Twitter at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza. Check out my link tree. That's probably the best place to follow me. I have a podcast that we do intermittently, kind of whenever we want, called We Didn't Get a Rose, about romantic comedies. It used to be a Bachelor recap podcast, and because we're no longer beholden to the schedule of The Bachelor, we're kind of like, fuck it, whenever we want to. And I also have a Magic the Gathering podcast called Am I the Bullcast? So if there's any crossover here, come on, listen to it. It's like an interview call-in show where I talk to a bunch of Magic the Gathering people about their pet peeves in the format we play. In terms of shows, you can, you know, follow me online for more information, but depending on when this comes out, I'm actually going to be featuring for Kyle in Vermont soon. This
awesome.
Month. Yeah, I'm looking at my calendar, 18th to the 20th July, or is that 17th? I don't know. The weekend of the 19th, 20th or whatever, that's when I'm at the Vermont Comedy Club. Yeah, 18th to the 20th. Vermont Comedy Club, Kyle Kinane.
Well, I'll make sure to have this up and out before then. So that's awesome. Sure.
I mean, look, if it whatever works, I mean, no pressure on that, especially because like, hey, maybe it'll, you know, a fan of yours is at the border.
Yeah. We'll see. Well, thanks very much for taking the time to speak with me about this special, and I look forward to you coming back on and talking about other albums and specials you enjoy.
Oh, sure. I got plenty of those. I'll come back on whenever you want.
Perfect. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Matt.
You've been listening to Comedy Album Book Club, a Far From Here comedy and showbizmonkeys.com co-production. Music today was performed and produced by Glenn Beauchamp, Tim Matthews, Edith Falkenberg, and Jim Spruill, also known as the Something Something Quartet. Thanks for listening and tune in next week to Comedy Album Book Club.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get three-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.